Good morning, saints of the Most High God. Good to see your faces, as Joshua said. I'm going to have to reroute myself this morning, which happens from time to time because, first of all, you guys know I never just teach messages like, you know, a pep talk for here and there so that you feel good when you come. But I always teach themes and subjects and topics that last for extended period of time. And like the scriptures say, I try to build line upon line and present you with more than just a good thought here and a good thought there or a minor truth or something like that. I never do that. God didn't build me that way. Last week, I began to address something to the body regarding the condition, first of all, with the church. And we did not have a full house last week. Of course, it was Thanksgiving weekend, and there were a lot of people missing. We are experiencing the same thing this week. Consequently, I am being guided by the Holy Spirit not to teach the whole thing that I have prepared for you, but to give you a few other thoughts that are in line with the overall topic. But because so many people are missing, it's hard to bring continuity to their lives. And that is a goal that I have. I believe that when we gather, not just because I teach, but because of all the things the Holy Spirit does when we're together, something wonderful happens in your life. And it's valuable, and it's God. We gather on the Lord's Day for real holy purposes, and we need to respect that. Coming to gather on Sundays is not an option, among other options, like, gee, the sun's out, the weather's nice, or my friend's called, or whatever, and decide to do something different than be here. That only shows a lack of real honor and devotion, and above all, respect and reverence for God and for the body. Unfortunately, a total misunderstanding or lack of understanding of what it means to gather together. This is not a criticism, it's a condition. It's a condition right now that's facing the church in massive proportions. I talk to other pastors, they say their congregations are empty. And they're doing everything they can, which is a mistake, to entice them back. Anytime you try to do a work, a ministry, an activity, you know, a pep talk, let's do this, let's do that, come on, this is going to happen. That's not God. Never is. Just as a thought, I hope you realize this, when the Lord told Adam and Eve, said, look, don't eat out of the tree of good and evil. In our minds, we think, oh, it's evil. No, he said, don't eat out of the tree of good and evil. Meaning when you eat out of the tree of good, the things that you think are good that you do, that's in the flesh. I could teach on this for a long time, but you have to understand everything that we are to do comes out of God and not out of us. Even our good has to be checked. The Lord spoke that to Isaiah and to Israel, and he said, look, your good deeds are nothing but filthy. I don't even want to use the word. Because God is God. He will authorize things. But to get back to where I'm at with you, I hope you understand. I covet all of you. I am jealous for all of you. I don't want some of you to get something and the rest of you not to have it. We put things on our Facebook page and on our website so that if you do miss, you can get caught up. You could watch the video. I had a pastor call me this morning at 6:30 and ask me, is it okay if I share last week's teaching with my congregation? Just show the whole video. That's how respectful or how significant they felt that the message was. I thought, wow, that's wonderful. Good God. I don't esteem myself. I don't judge myself. I leave that to the Lord. I try to be obedient to him and not look for accolades. Those who seek the honor of men cannot seek the glory of God at the same time. It's an impossibility. So I never do that. At least to the best of my ability, I don't. And I hope you feel that your life is like that too, that you want to just honor God and not seek the glory of men. So with that, the Lord said, I want you to be careful that everybody gets caught up because of what is being taught during this time. Well, what is this time? We're in an interesting time when there is a decline in the overall importance, significance, power, whatever, in the church. And the world is running amok. Even this nation is in chaos. But we know historically when times like this occur, God is about to move. He's about to give new revelation. As it says in Amos chapter 3 that God doesn't do anything but that he first reveals his secrets to the prophets. There is a process that God goes through. Whereby he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and then you tell the others, and then let me do it. That's something that he does. You follow that? God says before he's going to do something, this is what I'm going to do. Now, we don't always know all the depths of what he's going to do, but we agree it's going to be him. So I know that some of you are struggling, going through hard times, facing difficulties. Inflation is a challenge. You have family issues, things at your work. Who knows? Sometimes you face some sicknesses, discomforts of all types, and it's not easy to press on because you're busy beating off the alligators when you're supposed to drain the swamp, as the saying goes. I experience those things too. So I respect that. At the same time, there's an element of overcoming in our lives whereby we press in and push ourselves to seek the Lord. One of the problems that's existing in the church is it's tired of doing the same old thing. We said that last week. It's just simply worn out. And that's why pastors are trying to drum up stuff. You know, it's wrong. People need two things. They need revelation or vision, and that creates their purpose. And when you understand your purpose, you are activated in life. It says in Proverbs, when there is no vision, the people go amok. They run amok. So we need constant, fresh revelation, vision coming from God to us. We do not know all of this. We just don't. There are secrets in here that have not been totally mined yet, the depth and the truth of them. Because oftentimes we read a scripture and we think we know what it means and we just move on and we can quote it and we can think about it. And then God will take us back and say, here's what that means. That's revelation. Revelation is not getting an idea that is outside of the boundaries of God's eternal purposes or revealed in his scripture. Revelation is often understanding what the Bible means. Things are opened up to us in bright ways where we get this inward illumination that becomes a power and a force in our lives. That the vision begins to carry you. You understand? It becomes a source of your strength because you're so passionate about it. It's so powerfully true. And that's what God wants us to experience in this time. He knows we've hit a dull spot. And so he's going to open up to us again more truth that is essential. And I'm not teasing you. I'm going to talk about some of that today, but I'm not going to teach all the things I had prepared because I want to bring everybody up to speed. And I will try to accomplish that next week, and we see we get the majority of the body back. That's the way I am. I have a father's heart. I don't want to treat one of the kids better than the other. And I don't want to say, well, you missed out, too bad. We need to pray for those who haven't been able to make it for whatever reason. Simple as that. Who knows what they're going through, what trials or difficulties or personal conflicts. Challenges. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for the continual drawing of your beloved children to your presence, to the body, to the purposes that you have for them. Because when they're not here, they miss out. There's a scripture in Isaiah 58 that says, it just came to me. Let me just look that up, okay? I feel the tingling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He likes this one. Here it is. This is an interesting way the Lord has brought it. It's from Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 7. The second part, where it says, when you see the naked, you will cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Meaning, we don't want to get engaged sometimes with other people's problems, when in fact we are the solution to their problems oftentimes. Here's another aspect of that truth. People don't get healed because they hide themselves from the body. Hello. Healing is in the body. We haven't come to respect that well enough yet. Healing is in the body. In the book I wrote, one of the phrases that I used was that it takes the whole entire body to make the whole entire body whole. Follow that truth? Okay. So, now, there is a progressiveness to God's truth. If we handled all of the truth at one time, we couldn't. Just would be impossible. So we learn things incrementally, just like when you go to school, you pass through grades where you learn different subjects. And there's growth to our learning. We never come to the place where we have it all together. There is something that happens as we study the word and then live it out, which I'll talk more about. But the point being, there's an awful lot of truth here. And if all the things that Jesus did and taught could be recorded in this word, the world did not have enough books to record it all. So just to give you a little understanding, there's an awful lot here for us. An awful lot. Here's one of the things that the Lord wants to remind us of. let's see. Forgive me, I was just writing down some things quickly as I was getting them from the Holy Spirit, because I sat here saying, God, what should I do? We're not all here, at least not even the majority. And he said, I'll give it to you. And so here. Isaiah 55 and 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is important at all times of our lives because we have a tendency to reach a conclusion of what God has said and think that we know everything about it and then act on it. Case in point. We think what we're doing today as church is what God intended. Is this really all there is? Huh? Come on. Is this all there is? You guys get to sit here week after week. I get to talk week after week. This is not the best thing that God can do. I'm sorry. I include myself in that. I have a purpose that has to be dispatched so that you can have your purpose so that it can be dispatched. I work to make you better. And we're not getting there yet. We have not yet arrived at that. We are still stuck in a mode of operation that God needs to free us of. But we'll never get free until we understand who we are. I said this last week. Revelation helps us see who we are so we can be what we see. If you don't see what we are, we will never be it. What are we? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 9. As a little backup, Jesus said in Matthew 16, when Peter declared by revelation, come on, hear this, revelation, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, Jesus said to him, look, you didn't get this on your own. My Father revealed it to you. Revelation. Revelation. Revelation does not come by intellect, by reasoning, by understanding. It comes by God. He gives it to us when we seek it. Okay? So, Paul, and Jesus said in Matthew 16, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevent it. Well, we think we know what that is. Look what we've done. We do think we know what we're doing. And to some extent, God has approved us and gone along with us, and he loves us, and he's patient with us, but he has something better for all of us to accomplish. Some eternal purposes that have to be, first of all, revealed and then achieved. So, Paul was, some think he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the 70 of the learned scholars of Israel who were able to interpret scripture and therefore then give it out to the Israelites. He was a young man and had achieved great position in Israel. He was well known from what we understand of his life. And he thought he was doing the right thing when he went about persecuting Christians, dragging them out of their homes, and taking them off to get them hauled into jail or worse, because he saw them as enemies of God and enemies of Israel. And so, chapter 9 of Acts, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Right then and there, there was an amazing revelation that changed the Apostle Paul's life. Yeah, first we understand that he recognized that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior, and that the person that he had been against was now going to draw him into Paul's eternal purposes. Further on over in verse 15, God had called a man named Ananias in a vision about Paul. He said, I want you to get this man. He's a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, when you read the word suffer, immediately you say, I don't want to go near that. The reason Paul had such a hard time is because of the revelation that was given to him. Thank God he got those revelations. You're not going to suffer because of the revelation he got, which we get. But he did. It cost him a great deal to bring it forth. And sometimes when we get revelation, it will cost a great deal to us with our friends and relatives and other Christians who do not agree with us. But revelation has a price. It costs God to bring it to us, and it might cost us a little bit to stay with it, but I'll tell you what, it's worth it. When a revelation comes, it changes your life. And I intend to do this. Now, what I am doing right now is salting your oats to make you thirsty. Do you understand? I need you to hunger for these truths just like I have and millions others. This is not another message, a pep talk to make you feel good for the day and then you can go out. I desperately want you to have the revelation that Paul first had, that he's given to us, that I believe I have to some extent. I don't want to claim perfection of it, but I know enough of it to say I'm going to stay the course with it. And for years, it has propelled me in my ministry. And we're coming back to it now because without this revelation, the church is going to wander. It's going to continue to wallow and be impotent and run over by the world. We're not going to let that happen because God is not going to let that happen. He's not going to let it happen to you. All right, what is the revelation that came to Paul? Jesus said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" What's the revelation there? Who was Paul after? No, he was after Christians, wasn't he? He was persecuting Christians. Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because the revelation is Jesus was in the Christians, and the Christians were in Jesus. We tend to operate like Old Testament people. Get the Word of God, get enriched, get enlivened, and get blessed, and then act out, let's do good and not do bad. Let's be better. Hope we'll get to heaven. I got news for you. Heaven isn't someplace you're going to. Heaven is coming here. It's been coming here. You may not like that. But Revelation tells us that the New Jerusalem came down from heaven. It's the bride of Christ, whose origin is heaven, but its place is now here on earth. I know, it's going to mess with your mind. But we have been doing things of our own will and understanding without depending upon God to teach us. Heaven is coming here. Why else would we pray? Your will be done here as it is in heaven. There's a connection between heaven and earth, not a separation, but an increasing connection, just like the kingdom of God. We pray the kingdom of God come. Well, it came. How much of it? Not all of it, but it's already here, but not yet perfected. We must begin to see things not as distant, out there, future, but as already, but not yet completed. All right, let's think about this. Here's the church today. Here's how we see the church. Many people tell me this. And it's easy to understand it by listening to your prayers and your dialogue. Not a criticism. We have been taught this way. The body of Christ. Most people see the body of Christ as an entity, even willing to say that Jesus is the head. But in reality, what they often see is the body of Christ, Jesus, telling the body of Christ what to do. Okay? So we see him there, not here. Where is he? You need this revelation. You might say it, but you must have it in your heart to the depths of your being. Where is he? Where is Jesus? The other side of that, where is the church? Where is the church? Is it here and Jesus there? Is Jesus there and we're here? Or has something happened? What did Jesus reveal to Paul that turned Paul's life upside down? In Galatians, he said this. He said, when it pleased God to reveal, to separate me from my mother's womb and reveal Christ in me, I didn't hesitate. I went out and began to preach it. When Christ is revealed in you, something changes. You're not just saved. You become the dwelling of Christ. Christ. Individually, he is our head, and collectively, he is the head of the whole body. And where is the whole body? It's everywhere a believer is. Every believer constitutes the body of Christ. Now, I'm a little ahead of myself. I didn't intend to get this far. But you didn't get it the first time you heard it, any more than I got it the first time I heard it and read it and studied it. Because like you, I never really, really thought that Jesus and I had become one. That the body and Jesus had become one. That he and his body are one. And I will teach you how that happened, but I'm not going to do it today. But it is a reality. And when this reality gets into you, it will change your life. It will change your thinking, your behavior, your attitude about everything. For you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. Not as a feeling. Look, we don't receive him into our hearts or into our minds. We receive him into our whole being. He's not a thought in my life. He's not an emotion in my life. He's a person who came to take up residence individually and collectively, corporately. Right now, there's a buzzword, ecclesia. Have you heard that? People talk about ecclesia. And the emphasis is, come on, let's get together and change the world. Let's exercise the authority of God. Let's come together and make our statement. Wrong. He did not call us out to be a dominant governing authority. Doesn't mean that we do not have influence and authority in this world. But that's not our primary objective. He called us out. The word ecclesia means people who are called out of the world. But the rest of that is, where are they called to? They're called out in order to be called in. We are called out of the world to be called into Christ. And all that Christ would do, he will do through us. And not without us. And if we can't understand this, he won't accomplish it. He waits for our understanding. He's just not going to force us to do something. Well, I'm going to reserve the rest of the teaching. This is enough, I think, for you today. There's a great change coming. When the body of Christ realizes it is the body of Christ, not a term given to the church. We are not a term given to us. We are the living reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we in him. We are his body. Where is Jesus? He can be everywhere, but where is he in relationship to us? We are his body. He is in us, and we are in him. It's a thorough immersion both ways. We are thoroughly immersed in him, and he becomes, not immediately, I'll teach you that, but by his Spirit, he becomes immersed in us. There's another misunderstanding. I'm going to touch on it now because I want us all to know this. You did not get filled with the Spirit when you got born again. You just got born again. Okay? You get filled with the Spirit after you get born again. As it says in the book of Acts, did you receive the Spirit after you believed? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that is consistently taught throughout the book of Acts. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I beseech you with all of my passion and love for you, You will struggle without that. It's not optional. Like, belongs to the charismatics. There were no other kinds of Christians. Okay? Praise God. I'm going to leave you with that this morning. I want you to chew on it, especially what Jesus said to Paul. Why are you persecuting me? Because Jesus was revealing to Paul he was in the body already. He was in the believers. And Paul had a flash of revelation that changed the course of his life, and we become the benefactors of it. Praise God. Whew. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you for helping me this morning get through a difficult time when I want so much for all of us, and you want it even more, that you are the great helper to us by your Spirit, to even when things are not running like we'd like to see them run, that you are still able to, what is the old saying? When you're dealt lemons, make lemonade. And you made lemonade this morning, and I give you praise for that, and thank you for recovering these moments and making them precious. I praise you for your word, your truth, your revelation. And there isn't anything that we receive of our own. The word of God did not come out of us, it came to us. And I am the first to admit that I have nothing but that you have given me and that I have been able to receive from you. And I give it out freely so that we might all receive from you truths that will bless you, honor you, glorify you, and change our lives for the better. Give us the purposes that we need, that you have ordained for us, that we will begin to see the value of our lives. The Lord spoke to me just now, and he said this. Remind the people this. When the Jews came out of captivity and were coming back to Jerusalem to build the wall, every one of them had one purpose: to build the wall. To build the wall up. And God wants us to have the same purpose, that we come together to build up the body. We'll teach you more on that, okay? One holy purpose. Thank you, Lord. Bless your children abundantly this week. Give them truths that they need for their lives. Reveal truth to them, but above all, your great love for us all. We need that. Amen. Thank you, saints.